As we look to God's Word, I'm going to invite my brother Heinz Steller up to read our passage from Scripture. So please, just at this time, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. It's on the screen behind you. Let's look to God's Word together.
Amen. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But then, when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may ever be seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people, like the seed along the path where the word is sown, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others like that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on the rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of the wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times that was what was sown." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Heinz. Just please have your word open with you as we look to it this morning, this parable of the sower. As we continue in this series in the Gospel of Mark, one of four Gospels, accounts of testimonies, eyewitness accounts of Jesus, his life, his teaching, what he did, where he went, and lives that were changed because of him. Now, in our passage this morning, I want to just begin by just asking some questions. Why is it that some people respond to the gospel and others do not? How is it that you can, or why is it that you can talk to some friends and some families about Jesus? Some will respond positively, while others will shut you down. And that is the question that Jesus raises and also answers in this passage today. And I believe that studying this parable and the truths that it teaches will help us to become more effective in how we witness, but then also how we are to be praying for those who do not know Christ. And as Susan introduced that song earlier, and if you listen carefully, the gospel message was proclaimed. And if you, in your heart, believe those words, you are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And wherever Jesus went, his message was repent. Repent and turn to God. Believe in the good news of the kingdom which has come, which came in him. So praise God for the gospel message and the truth that we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can learn from God's word. And as Mark begins this passage, and as we begin in verse 1, he sets the scene for us by telling us that Jesus is teaching again, and he's by the Sea of Galilee. And once again, a great crowd gathers around him so many people that he is forced to actually step into a boat and teach from a boat to all the people that were gathered like this on the shore. So that's the setting. Picture Jesus sitting in a boat a little ways off from the shore, and all the people gathered along the water's edge to listen to him. Now, Jesus goes on to say in verse, Mark goes on to tell us in verse 2, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, and then verse 3, we learn what the parable's all about. And Jesus teaches them about a parable now of a sower, a farmer, his seed, and the different types of soil that the seed fell on. But Jesus often taught in parables. And one definition of a parable is that it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's one way that you can understand. That's an old definition of what a parable is. But often Jesus taught in parables, and he did so in order to communicate a spiritual truth by helping his listeners understand it through things around them that they could understand, that they could relate to. And of course, many people in Jesus' day were farmers, so they could relate to a farmer sowing seed and the different soil that it fell on. So parables tell a story, using something we see every day to help us understand a spiritual truth. Now, Jesus didn't simply tell stories and tell parables to entertain people. He didn't tell parables in order to attract people and get people's attention. Jesus told parables because he wanted to change lives. And he still is doing that today. His word changes lives. Jesus is changing lives, I believe, in this place even now. Praise God. And I know that if not all of you, perhaps most of you are here because, guess what? Jesus changed your lives. And you're praying that God will change the lives of those people that you care and love about so much. But you need to be in church on Sunday to be edified and supported and prayed over so that as God moves you to those people, you can rely on his words to change and to bring encouragement to people that are perhaps like the ones in the crowd listening. They need something. They don't know exactly what it is. And many in that crowd that day represent you and I. We're searching. We're looking for answers. And there were a lot of people that were eager to hear Jesus in that crowd. There were a lot of people that wanted to just be near Jesus. And only Jesus knew why. Because only God knows the hearts of man. And many were genuinely searching for the truth. But many just wanted something from Jesus. And that was it. They wanted either to be healed, they wanted their lives to change for the better, and then that was it. Thank you, Jesus, and I don't care for your words, but my life has changed, and I'm better for it now. And then that's all they wanted. But then there are also those in the crowd that they just were looking for an opportunity to silence Jesus. They had rejected him from the moment Jesus declared and spoke, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Whether that was the religious leaders, the Pharisees of that day in the crowd, and to those, you know, Jesus still spoke the truth. And for those that were there that were really interested and hungry for the truth, his parables would cause them to lean in and really grasp what he was teaching. And to those, he explained the parable later on in our passage, as Hines read. So in this parable, what does Jesus talk about? Well, he talks about a farmer who went out to sow seed. And the text tells us that the seed fell on four different types of ground. And that's really the important message of this parable is not in the sower or in the seed, But he spends the most time talking about where the seed landed. So in verses 3 to 4, the first place where the seed fell was along the path. So just picture that path in your mind. The fields in Jesus' day were set out in long, narrow strips. And so the farmers would use the ground between the strips for pathways as they would tend to the soil, as they would sow the seed and care for the crops. And so these paths would eventually get beaten down from all the walking. Maybe you know what I mean. You have that picture in your mind, that hard surface. And so an example could be, well, this past summer I put a swing in the backyard for the kids. Found a branch that could support the swing. There was a little bit of grass underneath where the swing started. But guess what happened after about a month of them swinging on the swing? All of their footprints and all of that swinging just grounded down the dirt. Grass will no longer ever grow there. It's been so packed down. And so that's the path. That's the hard surface that the parable begins with. The ground in that path was hard as rock. No grass will ever grow there. And this is where, this is the soil that we learn about first. And the seeds that were sown there, they just drop onto that path, and then quite easily birds could swoop down and eat it up. That's the first path. The second place where the seed fell in verses 5 to 6, Jesus talks about, was the rocky place. And Mark here is describing a second type of soil that really kind of had just a thin layer of earth resting on top of an underlying shelf of rock. The dirt might be several inches deep at most. So the seed could start, could grow, but then the roots would stop dead as soon as they hit the rock. And the plant would literally starve to death from lack of moisture, needed more soil. And that's what happened to these seeds that fell on the rocky places. Now the third place where the seed fell was among thorns, and that's in verse 7. And this looked like good soil, but it also contained the roots of weeds that were natural to that area. And so the dormant weeds, the thorns, would grow up together alongside the plant, the vegetation growing from that seed. And then eventually it would choke out the plant so that the seed could bear no fruit. What is the number one rule about pulling weeds? You got to take out the root. You got to take out the root. If you don't pull out the roots, the weeds will continually grow back. And wherever there are weeds, they take over good plants. And the strong roots of the weeds use up all the nutrients in the soil. And the plants are left with nothing. They can't grow. And so these plants barely grow at all. They don't produce fruit or vegetables. And then the fourth seed that fell on good soil. Look at verse 8. Jesus said, "Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30. 60 or even 100 times. And so the seed that fell on this good soil grew, but it not only grew, it did well. It, as Mark says, 30, 60, 100-fold yield here. This is a very good crop. Most farmers would have been happy with a 10-fold increase. So the fact that it went from 60 to 100, this represented an exceptionally abundant harvest. Good soil. And that ends the parable. And then Jesus goes on in verse 9 to say, "Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now, that's how Jesus closes out the parable. And it's not the first time that he uses these words. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus actually uses these words several times in the Gospels. And he is saying that just hearing the word is not enough. You have to not only hear the word, you have to understand it, have it explained to you, and then you have to apply it to your life and obey it. And that's where true spiritual formation, spiritual maturity, our faith grows. And Jesus is making people think with this parable, as he's making us think about his word when we read it. And he is making them ask questions. What's going on here, Jesus? What are you teaching us about? And those that were actually interested in finding out the truth, who Jesus is and why he came, how to be forgiven, the secrets of the kingdom of God, things like that, Jesus explains this parable too. And later on, when he was alone, verse 10, the 12 and others approach him and ask Jesus to explain the parable. And these are the ones that we learn want to know the truth. These are the ones who come to him and ask, what does this mean? And then Jesus explains the parable. Jesus said that the word of God, as he explains the parable to them, in verse 13 all the way to 20, he explains that Jesus said that the word of God is the seed. That's what the seed is, the word of God. And the sower is Jesus, but the sower also is anyone who sows the word of God. The sower is you and me, the preacher on Sunday morning. The sower is also the missionary in the third world country, the employee at lunch with his co-workers. The sower is also the parent tucking the child in bed at night and reading the Bible. The sower is anyone who shares the gospel of the good news of the gospel and God's word, spreading the seed as he goes. Now, the soils are the different now heart conditions of the people. And truly, the message of this parable lies there. The word of God gets planted in our hearts and then has the potential to bear fruit, but not every seed grows into a plant and bears fruit. The kind of soil it lands on makes all the difference. The seed was the same. Okay? The word of God does not change. But the condition of the soil was different. The hearts of man are very different. So this parable then is not merely a story of a sower sowing seed. It is a question from God to us all. When the sower sows his seed, what will the seed find to rest on? What kind of soil is our heart made of? How does God's word fall on your heart today? So first, Jesus goes on to explain in verse 15 the hard and dry heart. Verse 15, he says, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, takes away the word that was sown in them. So some people are like the ground on the pathway. This was the hard ground because people walked on it all the time. They beat it down into a path. And people like the seed on the path have hearts that are closed to the word of God. They allow no room for the seed, the word of God in their lives. It never enters. And there can be many factors contributing to a hard heart. Think about it. What contributes? What can cause a hard heart where God's word cannot penetrate? Well, that could be sin. Could be pride. Could be unforgiveness. We watched I Can Only Imagine Friday night here as a church family. And boy, what a powerful message on forgiveness. It took that young man years to finally forgive his father. And then, what a transformation. Forgiveness, could be so much more. Could be just setbacks, disappointments, things that you're suffering with in life could harden your heart. And what happens to this kind of heart? Well, when the word of God is spread on this heart, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word. He snatches it up before it can sink in. So it's important to see that Satan doesn't want the word of God to take root in a person's heart. Your heart, your children's heart, your neighbor's heart. And like a bird swooping down and snatching a seed, he wants to remove the seed of the word from the soil of a person's heart. The enemy wants to keep the word from ever having a place in a person's life so that they will never be fruitful to God. And if this morning, as you consider this first soil, if you sense a hardness, If you sense that your heart has been hardened, please consider that perhaps the reason you're here today is for Christ, by the power of his Spirit, to grind that heart, that hardness away, making it open. The parables, the word of God coming from the mouth of Jesus, they contain the power to open ears and open hearts. Romans 10, verse 17, the Bible says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Second, the shallow and rocky heart in verses 16 to 17. Jesus says, others like seed sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now we see this kind of heart in the crowds that followed Jesus. Again, There were so many people there. He had to sit in a boat. Like Twitter followers that see Jesus is trending, they jump on the bandwagon. They got to be there. They don't know why they got. And some people, they know why they're there, but it's not to take Jesus seriously at all. They love him for his miracles, but they leave him as soon as he says, repent. Change your life. Turn from your sin and trust in God. They hear that and they kind of back away. They're not interested in any of his exclusive claims, his truth declarations, who he says he is and why he came. They don't stick with him because their heart just isn't open enough. So some people are like the ground that is rocky, but covered with a thin layer of topsoil. They receive the word. The text says they receive the word with a flash of enthusiasm that quickly burns out. They seem to be happy to hear about Jesus and his great love, but they do not let it sink into their hearts. And perhaps these are people that they can know a lot about God, but they don't know him personally as their personal Lord and Savior. All head, no heart. On the outside, they may express and look like they got joy and enthusiasm, but inwardly, they do not carefully consider his word. There's no change. Listen to these words from Matthew 7. Because you need to understand that eternity is at stake when it comes to the word of God. Not everyone who says to me, Jesus once said, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. There were great crowds that followed Jesus, but only a few were his true disciples, were the followers. Many were just fans. When these people face pressure or bad circumstances, they quickly forget about God's word. They give it up quickly when it becomes too difficult to follow Jesus. So a true believer truly follows Jesus no matter what the cost. Verse 18 to 19, we learn about the crowded and anxious heart. And I guess if I were to caution us from one of these first three kinds of hearts, this is the one I would highlight today, considering our culture. And I think it is the bad soil that we in our culture are most prone to. Some people, again, with this soil, as revealed, they hear God's word, they start to grow and bear fruit, but they soon become worried about the problems of daily living. Listen to Jesus in verse 18 to 19. Like seeds sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. They receive the word, but all the cares of the world, the interests, the pleasures, the leisures, everything else soon begins to crowd out the word of God. In Matthew 6, 25 to 27, Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour of his life? And Paul in Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 8, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. A lot can come in and crowd out the word of God in your life and what you believe about God. And you know that box earlier? Yeah, worries can make this happen to your heart. You forget what God can do and what God is doing in providing and protecting and making a way possible for you. But that's an important heart to be, it's a warning to stay away from. But lastly, the fourth soil is the soft and open heart. Look at verse 20, where Jesus concludes as he wraps up this parable, talking about this final soil, this heart. Others like seed on good soil hear the word. Not only here, they accept it and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. And so some people are like the good ground. They accept the word, bear fruit, thus fulfilling the purpose of the seed. And these people have hearts that are open to the word of God, accept the word of God. They follow Jesus when it's hard. They stick with him even when they don't understand. They draw near. They lean in. And to them are given the secrets of the kingdom of God. And they get not only knowledge of his kingdom, but truly they get his kingdom. So what kind of soil is your heart this morning? Hard and dry, shallow and rocky, crowded and anxious, or soft and open? God knows your heart. Do we have a heart of faith or unfaith? And you have to understand something. You are only responsible for your heart. Only God can work in your heart. You're not responsible for the heart that's sitting beside you. But God is, as you pray that the Holy Spirit softens their heart. But how can we know then, how can we know if my heart is soft and open? Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. The spiritual fruit that comes from God's Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, forgiveness, righteousness, grace, compassion, knowledge and truth. And another fruit is sharing God's truth with others. So teachable, faith-filled hearts, like good soil, will produce much spiritual fruit. And so the test for good heart soil is, again, checking to see whether there is any of this fruit in your life. Just examine your heart today. Sometime today. Examine your heart. And if so, you know that God's word has taken root if you can see that fruit in your life. That you have believed the truth of Jesus, and that your beliefs are guiding your actions. You have trusted Jesus, so his spirit now lives in you. It's interesting to note that a plant does not decide when to bear fruit, right? It just happens. And in the same way, we can't decide when we're going to bear spiritual fruit. Fruit comes naturally when we remain connected to the vine. John 15, verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If anyone remains in joined to me and I in him, he will bear a lot of fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We must stay connected to Jesus, because without him, we cannot bear fruit. But we are responsible to keep the soil in good condition. Good soil has what? Sunlight, water, nutrients. How do you think we can water and fertilize our hearts then? Well, read God's word. Worship with believers on Sunday. Listen to good teaching, Bible teaching. Pray together. Listen to God. Don't forget about the three soils, however, this morning. The three soils that the seed did not grow. So as we close, maybe this is your heart today. Maybe your heart was in one of the first three of those soils. And if it sounds like this was your heart, there's only one way to change. We heard earlier, that's Jesus. Jesus says he is the way. Confess. Tell the Lord that your heart has not been good soil. Ask him to plow up the places and replace them with a good soft heart. That will be a perfect place for his truth to take root and grow. Listen to God's promise to you and to me from Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I don't know about you, but I want my heart to be good soil. I don't want anything to interfere with the work of God's word in my heart. So may we be good hearers, may we have good hearts, may we put his word in action. And if your heart is hard, again, God can change that. And so let's pray as we close for our hearts right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for the truth of your word. God, we ask that you would increase in us a desire to know more who you are, so that we can be fruitful for you, God, in your kingdom. God, we ask that you would remove the rocks and the thorns from the soil of our hearts. And God, we confess, Lord, that our hearts at times have been hardened because of life. But God, we ask now by the power of your Spirit that you would give us a new heart. Lord, that you would just work on that hardness, God, soften it up. That as your word is planted today in our hearts, Lord, that it will grow. And that we will produce fruit for the kingdom. That as people see our lives, that they will know that we believe in a God who can do the impossible. That he can make a way. He can perform a miracle. That he is a light in the darkness. Our God who saves. In Jesus' name, amen.